Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. It's the Mac Show! Yes, we're here. It's a Friday. The weekend starts tomorrow, and the only thing stopping me from drinking is a long conversation with these five boys. How you doing, fellas?
Don't let that stop.
Are we actually doing the show now? Is he actually? You've actually pressed record.
Well, the clue's in when I say, "Hello, welcome to the Mac Show."
Yeah, but we do that like five or six times before we get it right.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Right, we're starting. Don McAllister is joining us back from his sojourn to Mac World. How did that pan out, mate?
Super. Yeah.
High-level business meetings over breakfast.
Breakfast meetings and, you know, that's... It's a whirlwind.
Buy that new plane or did you step away?
No. Just sort of investigated leasing options and stuff. I don't know.
Me and Elon Musk, I was saying, listen, a week on the space station sounds fantastic. Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
You're going to stow away with him on board one of those supply ships. Next to him, Carl Swagger. You look a bit dimmer. I don't mean you. I mean the lighting is dimmer. Okay,
I think it is. Yeah, no, I'm setting the mood. It's 11:49 at night. It's a little romantic in here.
Let's get it on. Beneath him, and he's not in a let's get it on fashion, Chris Vorsman. Hey. Ars Technica. How you doing, bud?
Great.
Okay, well, glad we got that covered up then. And finally, from Shropshire, Mr. Will Green, the British Mac Podcast. How you doing, buddy?
Not very well, thank you very much.
How
very well endowed.
Keep your finger to yourself, Will.
I've taken it out.
Oh. Yeah.
Tim Hubbard wrote in and said, husband wrote in and said, please tell Will to get his finger out. So now where do we stand on the Will Opus, the Green Opus?
The Green Opus?
The Opus that is going to be the next Mac, British Mac Podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's all good.
Where are we at?
I've done the start. So that's good. And the rest really is rubbish anyway. And it doesn't take long. So I've booked myself for Sunday to put it together.
Right, so we can expect this cacophony.
You can expect great things, Rankin. Great things.
Excellent.
I'm much better than this little rubbish. It's
my awesome. Breath is bated, but I won't be holding it.
I wouldn't.
No. And last but by no means least, DHM's here. How you doing, bud?
I am 2 weeks off.
2 weeks away. Yeah, from the
2 weeks
the
ranch. Away.
And in that time, you launched an application.
I did.
And now you don't work anymore.
Yes. Oh, my word. And the dog's gone mental. That's happy too.
Don't worry. You can afford another dog.
I know. I'll have this one put down. it'll be fine. Yeah. So we've launched an app. We had fun. We're launching a second app, which will probably be a companion one, which will be live by the time you've sorted out and up to the podcast. So it's been busy.
Righto. What's the new app going to be called?
Well, the original one's Face Wiper, which obviously everyone's been playing that's been watching this podcast, and I hope everyone...
Did you get version 2 out?
Yeah, version 1.1 we've put out with the easier guessing. So you can get the name slightly wrong.
Yeah.
And then the next one, which will be out... hopefully later today, it's called Logo Wiper, which is the same game engine, but you wipe the thing over. Instead of faces, it's company logos.
So are you just going to have a whole series of games that have got Wiper on the end? Is there going to be Arse Wiper? And
yes, we've been there.
Snot Wiper. Yep.
Next weekend is Car Wiper, which is the same game with car pictures.
Oh, very good. Don't out too much, obviously. You need a bit of secrecy here.
Yeah, don't worry. I think we're pretty much done on that one, so it's up for approval soon. So we've nabbed the name, and yeah, we're going to cover every angle. Osswapper.
If you've got any identifiable objects, which when revealed slowly could be even slightly interesting when you've had alcohol,
there's a
wiper game going to be made for you.
200 different sorts of animal poo.
That would be... No, don't say... No, I'm not editing this weekend. feces wiper.
Yes.
Feces swiper. There you go.
Yeah, I've got. Believe you me, I've been patenting names left, right, and centre. I own more domains than Will now.
Poop wiper. There we go.
With famous faces from across the last 100 years, he'll be playing again and again and again.
British monarchs.
That's the one. Have you found it now, Will?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. It seems a good idea. So how many from, like, sort of...
You know that was the recommendation on last week's show?
Was it?
Yeah. There's no point. I tell you what, mate. The minute you switch that computer off, it's like a toilet flushing, isn't it, in your brain? There's nothing goes off.
So you've got all these faces from the last 100 years.
Yes.
And you wipe them a little bit, and you got to guess who they are.
Yes.
You're fast, Will.
Mm.
No, I'd say that looks like a really good game. So you pass the phone around to you, and that's the score.
No, you just do it yourself. Two players coming out with version 2, so you can invite someone, and then the server will send the same face to each phone, and you can play each round and things. But at the moment, it's just a single player game.
Well, you just get the phone and just wipe it all up. And why don't you just guess the face? Why bother with the wiping thing?
Yeah, you could do that. You might find it harder, though.
Why? Yeah. Why would it be
I think the wiping is an intrinsic part of the score that you get, Will. So the more swipes you do, you see, the less that... So you try and swipe across the eyes first, I would have guessed, if as the technique.
Yes.
Well, who cares if it's only you playing? I mean, well, the score doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, you know, you can pass it around. That's what you want to do, actually, is an AirPlay version where four people can be on four iPads and play together competitively over 10 rounds or something.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. I'll take a cut. Willy Wiper, Will Wiper, Belly Button Wiper.
Oh, go chat room, yes.
Poop Wiper, Naughty Bits Wiper.
Naughty Bits Wiper.
You could do countries, maps of countries. That would
might
work.
Be more careful with that name.
Yeah, West Africa, you're going to have more problem. It's like the difference between Namibia and Chad or something like that is probably not very much in terms of shape.
I think we're doing Travel Wiper.
Travel Wiper, jolly good, mate.
You could do all sorts, couldn't you?
There's not a lot of Mac news.
Which helicopter should I buy?
Helicopter wiper.
You want to get an ex-Vietnam Bell Huey, definitely, mate. Yeah. Nothing's got rotowop like a Huey.
No, but what about a Cobra, like a Cobra or something? They're quite cheap. They'd be good
if they come with guns still on. Yeah,
they don't, do they? But they look cool.
Bloody French wiper, famous people from France. But leave the spell check on their name accurate.
easier version, Belgian wiper, famous Belgians.
Bart Bouchot.
You've got 5 stars here from 13 reviews. How many of them were real people and how many of them were you?
None of them are me.
Liar.
No, not. You can't do that.
Yeah, of course you can.
Well, we haven't. They're all real reviews.
Yeah, there's no reviews. It's just ratings.
No, there's loads of reviews for the previous version.
Well, I've clicked on all versions and there's no reviews.
Oh, well. Apparently, it's the beginning of the end for Apple. The bubble has burst. It's all gone boobs up because their share price has fallen just a slight amount and they only did $13.1 billion. In revenue last quarter. So it could be that Apple's share fell from 46% in the preceding quarter of the PC market and Samsung are going to take over the world, not Apple anymore, and it's all doom and gloom. Amazon was third in the poll, apparently, with 11% of the market for tablets, and Asus had got 5.8%. Barnes & Noble had 1.9% of the market. And
hang on a bit.
Go on.
That wench, right? iCyber Paul, Nelly the Pink, Mark Sunner. Right, go on. How much did you pay him?
What? They all listen to the podcast and they've all seen fit to review it.
Yeah, whatever. Go on.
Completely unsolicited.
chat rooms, Ian in the chat room suggesting that you have a new game called Ratings Wiper. Or Review Wiper. That's a good idea.
I like Will Cooper myself.
It's the beginning of the end for Apple, then. So, comments?
Oh.
Apple is dead. Long live Apple. Come on, Forza.
New job, then.
Ridiculous.
Why is it? I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is a graphical comparison of the last quarter for the big 10 organizations that are in the US stock exchange. Apple, $13.1 billion of revenue. Exxon Mobil, they sell a really hot product that's overpriced beyond belief. And they only did $10 billion. Chevron, same company in terms of product, $7.2 billion. And from Microsoft down, if you take any of those two companies and add them together, none of them combined add up to Apple's. So, I mean, Tim Cook has got to be looking at it going, yeah, I'm really frigging worried for my job.
Yeah. Now, here, let's be fair. Apple's share fell slightly year over year. Okay, but they also sold a record number of iPads, like 23 million iPads. Well, the fact is that the tablet market is growing astronomically.
It's huge.
And it's you know, PC sales are actually falling. So if you know, some kind of analysis firm, Canalys, I think, or something, they take a look at this and they add up all PCs and tablets together and do, you know, market share that way. And if you could, you know, if you think of an iPad as a kind of personal computer, Apple's the number one PC vendor.
Yeah. I mean, what was the proportion of the Mini in all of that? Because, I mean, I would have thought the Mini would have, I mean, that seemed to be going gangbusters on when I went to Regent Street. Just queues and queues, yeah, and queues and queues and queues of people. They're not asking for iPad 4. They're not asking for old iPads. They're asking for Minis constantly. I mean, that's got to have been an enormous part of the sales. Maybe even hurt their own sales in terms of proportion, perhaps.
Well, you know, a lot of people talked about the fact, you know, the gross margins Apple reported were lower than usual, and I think that's part of the reason. You know, they're selling more. You know, the average selling price went down because they're selling more and more of the lower priced items. And it's, you know, I mean, Apple still does a ton of sale. You know, they have always targeted the high end, and they're still making like something like 70 or 80% of the, you know, the profits in mobile devices. Yeah. You know, so their volume is still, you know, even though their phones aren't, you know, the same volume as maybe some Android or something. I mean, they're doing a volume of phones that is putting them at like 10% of the market, but 70% of the share. And with tablets, you know, they still have almost half the market to themselves. And they have, you know, iPads that range from like, what is it, $300-$400 up to almost $1,000. So, you know, they're still raking in plenty of money and, you know, a slight dip in market share here where they still own half the market is not, I don't see why it should be any kind of concern, because, you know, Apple basically created this market, and sure, you know, now there's some competitors that have some viable products, but they're still, you know, they're still taking tiny, tiny slices.
Viable's never a good word to have next to your product, is it? Just barely covers it. Don, what was the barometer last week at Macworld, iWorld? I mean, did it feel like it was all drudgery and death waiting to happen?
No. I mean, it's totally ridiculous, the amount of press they're getting and the bad press they're getting. A stellar quarter that they had last quarter. I mean, the comment I was going to make, is it Wind Rider? They beat me to the punch in the chat room in the, you know, the whole thing about Apple never being afraid to cannibalize its own product range. You know, we saw that with the iPod, and they're doing it now with the iPad. I mean, another company might have thought, well, we'll hang on with the iPad Mini because, you know, we're still selling loads and loads of iPads. Why introduce a lower cost price, a lower priced item into the market when that might take off? And, you know, they have done, and I'm sure it has hurt the iPad 3 sales and iPad 4 sales, or whatever they are now. But, you know, I think they're now trying to, with the introduction of the 128 gig iPad, they're now trying to reposition them. They're trying to start to differentiate the iPads in the range. So you've got the Mini, which is the entry level one, and the iPad, you know, the big iPad, which is the pro level one, or the,
which is, to be fair, what they did with the iPod range, because you had different capacities, and then you had the 160, which was the classic, and then the iPod Touch came out, and it They were never afraid of that, yeah.
This is the way they do it. So they're really not worried about bringing new products into the market, even if it does cannibalize their own sales of existing products, because they would rather cannibalize their own sales than have someone else have a competitor cannibalize their sales, because it still goes to Apple in the end.
I mean, the big news that we talked about last week, I've got to say, sorry we didn't put a show out last week, but Justin TV nearly saved us, but didn't quite, because they deleted the last section of the podcast. So we had up until we started talking about the Mac Pro, and then that really wasn't worth it because it was all preamble from there. But there was the big question was there was definitely confirmed a 128 iPad. Now, generally speaking, you would have thought the memory chip size would be the overriding feature of whether you go to a higher level of memory, because they have a set space for it. And when you make a memory that fits in that space, then they'll, at the right price, then they'll go with it. I mean, the chips, I would suggest, are probably very similar, aren't they, across most of the product range. So are we going to see the 128 slide across to iPad mini, onto phone, and onto iPod Touch?
Oh, yeah. I don't think the mini, though. I think the mini, we're sitting here talking about, like Don was saying, certain markets. You know, you got your mini entry level, so on and so on. The phone, sure, because it seems like everybody is connected with the phone. I mean, that's where it started anyways. But I could see that definitely in the higher model iPads now, the 128, I guess. But I don't think you'll ever see it in the minis for some reason.
Vince in the chat room suggesting that Don already has 128 iPads. That wasn't it, I suppose, unless I've said something wrong there. 128 gigabyte iPad. iBookery wins with suggested applications that that Dr. Appiah could make with Rim Wiper. Very apt, because Wim's no longer around anymore, of course. There we go. So 128 coming anywhere else, Chris? Your gut feeling?
Yeah, you know, we did a poll on ours, and, you know, 20%, a little over 20%, said they were interested in a 128 gigabyte iPad in particular. One, you know, a lot of those people were saying, you know, I've already got an existing iPad that I'm running out of room. You know, a few, I think maybe 4 or 5% were saying, now that an iPad has 128 gigabytes, now I can consider using it, you know, like before, the capacity just wasn't enough. And so there's definitely, you know, it's a small percentage, but it's a fairly large number of people who are like, you know, I want to fill this device with whatever video, music, apps, whatever they're doing. You know, or are we also seeing a lot of iPads going into more like professional users that are using it for things like, you know, previewing and in some cases even editing like large CAD files, or you know, storing photos from a DSLR and, like, you know, showing them to clients or things like that. So, you know, there are people who definitely have the need for the large amount of storage. We even saw about 10% of those people, you know, of the people we polled said, you know, I don't really care about iPads, but if, you know, I use an Android device or something similar or whatever, I would like 128 gigabytes capacity. You know, so it's not just iPad users here. There's definitely a general trend among tablet users in general that, you know, some of them would like to see a large amount of storage to kind of keep all their stuff, you know, there with them. You know, some people in the comments are talking about streaming, you know, why we need so much space if you're just streaming everything. And the truth is, not everybody has a reliable connection everywhere all the time.
I've been in the middle of London, you know, and had a crap connection.
If you're on an airplane, you can't. Yeah, I mean, if you're on an airplane or if you're, you know, traveling in some remote areas or whatever, you just might not have a reliable network connection, or your data plans might be expensive if you don't live in Europe or Asia. You know, data is quite expensive here in North and in some parts of South America too.
Your audio's going a little bit choppy, mate. I don't know if you've got anything uploading or downloading that's...
No,
okay, never mind.
Don't worry about that.
Maybe
I'm just talking to
you. No, don't worry. So, apparently, a French reseller called France System has outed the fact that on the 1st of March there will be a brand new Mac Pro 2013, meeting EU regulatory requirements. It's up and running, shabang, you'll be able to buy it. No word on spec or anything like that, but they've been told, apparently, that it's definitely coming.
Yeah.
Who's buying it, then? I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week. Don, you say it's not coming still.
I mean, it probably well, the thing is, it might, but there's no way a French reseller is going to know. But, you know, Apple's not going to tell them there's a new Mac Pro on the way, are they?
Apparently, Apple told them.
Apple doesn't tell the French anything. That's complete rumor.
The story as I heard it was that this Apple had told some European resellers that the product would be available sometime in spring.
A legally compliant product.
That could be anywhere between March 20th and June 20th this year.
We have no idea what those two dates are. They chopped up completely.
It sounded cool though, don't get us.
Yeah, anyone that can lip read, please feel free to email in those dates afterwards.
March, well, 20th. Technically, Chris is correct. We didn't hear the dates because I don't think anybody knows the dates yet.
If it's going to come out, it's probably going to come out at WWDC. I mean, that would make a nice splash, wouldn't it? You know, a new Mac Pro for all the developers at WWDC. So that's got to be the date. If there's one out this year, that's the date they've got to be targeting, I would think.
Yeah. Well, we noted that WWDC was in early June in 2012. So, you know, if it's, you know, again, it's entirely possible Apple could have WWDC for June 20th. And announce a new Mac Pro or Mac Pro replacement or whatever it is, and still be in within that spring time frame. You know, even if that's something Apple said. Now, you know, I talked to Apple and they would not confirm a spring time frame, and they just kept repeating, you know, the fact that Tim Cook said there would be something later this year. So I don't know I can't.
Vince says
it's hard to say. Are they trying to apply that it's going to be actually later than spring, or who knows?
Vince in the chat room suggests it's called the new Mac POM. But I mean, here's the interesting question for me, Don. You weren't here last week to answer it. And it really is a very important question in my mind. You're a dyed-in-the-wool Mac Pro user, but now you've gone away from Mac Pros. When they bring out the new Mac Pros in March, if they do, or WWDC for that matter, have they lost some of the pro market because the pros have now realized that they're getting better performance out of lower end machines?
I think so. Unless they can actually, you know, differentiate it in a big way or find some extra benefit that would benefit a pro user. But yeah, as far as performance is concerned, I mean, there'll always be pro users who need the ultimate in performance and, you know, the biggest, fastest drives and the most memory they can stick into it, etc. But for your average pro, you know, someone who's doing sort of high-end photography and sort of standard video and stuff, you know, a lot of the kit they've got now, even the, if you look at Thunderbolt connected peripherals, even the, you know, the iMacs and the Mac Minis will actually do the job pretty well for 90% of the tasks that you want to do. Is that all the 10% of the tasks or the, you know, the high-end pros who really do need the top-end gear, to whether or not they can differentiate a pro machine to the extent whereby it would tempt them to go ahead and buy that?
So what about you? Because I mean, you've stepped away to a huge degree now from Mac Pro. Is there a pull back towards it, or are you saying I'm done?
Well, not only because it'll be new and shiny. That'll be the big attraction. Exactly.
That was a dumb question, Rankin. Yeah, that. Don, are you gonna buy a new Mac product, Don?
No, he needs to buy two so he can hold at both ends of the coffee table.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the MacBook Pro that I'm using for my day-to-day production stuff is great. I got a Mac Mini a month or so ago when I had to go in to get repaired to act as a spare machine, and I was blown away at just how efficient it was and just how good it was. So there's no real technical, you know, I'm not really in pain because there's no Mac Pro. I'm getting on very well, thank you very much, with my MacBook Pro and the Mac Mini.
Good.
But I'm not saying I'm not going to get one when one comes out.
You heard it here first.
I quite like one.
Because? New and shiny.
Just for the ability to hoik the side off of it and, you know, grab drives from customers' machines and slap them into, then have drives mounted internally in Macs for troubleshooting things rather than have to connect them up via cables. And obviously, I mean, you and I have both had the same issue in the last week where you've connected a 3 terabyte drive and the thing only shows up as an 800 gigabyte one. So as drives get bigger, it's probably more useful to be able to open the side of your Mac Pro and just slap 2 or 3 drives into it for reformatting to clone drives and stuff like that. It's just nice to have a Mac Pro with the expandability to do that rather than just continually shoveling drives into caddies and things at USB speed.
Well, the interesting thing was those drives I purchased to fill out the Mac Pro that Don gave us very kindly last year, and they've all set up as 3 terabyte drives without any problems whatsoever. I don't know if you've done anything, Don, to change chipset or something like that, but then I buy three that are exactly the same model, and I can't get them to format on anything to 3 terabytes. They're all
standard. Well, I had exactly that. I had a Western Digital Green, plugged it into my external SATA cable, plugged it into the iMac, and it showed up as an 800 gigabyte drive. Took it back apart again, opened up another Mac, plugged it in to the internal SATA connections on the Mac, and firewired it over to the other iMac server, and it showed up as a 3 gigabyte one, and then formatted no problem.
Very interesting. It's
definitely a lot of the chipsets of the external drives can't deal with over 2 terabytes of drive size.
Chat room suggesting I've just bought a new Mac Pro, which is why they're due. Thanks. No, I think it's a chipset that's changed. I think they've put a new chipset in the model's the same, but they've put a chipset that's different in.
It's not the only thing that'll probably change too.
What's that?
Don't look for them to use Intel processors.
Good.
I'm saying, I think in your Pro line, I think they will dump Intel on their Pro line. They will go for everything in-house.
Really?
Yes.
I find that hard to believe, and
Carl's got a little smirk on here, so...
Nobody believes the word Carl says, though.
Come on, smirking boy. What do you got? What are you coming out with? Come on.
No, this goes along what we've said before about what's happening to the Pro line. And it's funny that we're all sitting here talking about, even Don, who's going to buy one, obviously. But he's sitting there saying he's pro enough right now with a MacBook Pro. And how many people are even in Don's realm that have said, okay, no, I'm fine where I'm at right now. But there is that niche out there. But it's small enough where it's going to be an in-house product. It's not going to be anything that you can just... Well, I'm sure you can go on the website and do it. But it's not going to be anything you can literally say, yeah, give me one of those. No, it's going to be like, how do you want that? How do you want to customize that? What do you want to do with that? And I really look for them to be going completely and utterly within their own universe, the Apple realm again, and not using anything that's out third party, not anything that's Intel based whatsoever.
Wow. Chris, do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I think they're going to use IP Bridge, EP, Xeons, 22 nanometers, Xeon, personally.
Okay.
Chris may be right.
It's an interesting thought, though, because it would be a way to, because they are doing more and more in-house chip development. And sure. The only issue with going down the custom chip route is the software compatibility, etc. But, no, it could be. It's an interesting thought. I don't think for the next year or so, but certainly in the next few years, they might go down that route.
I'm just looking at it as a way as... Mm-hmm. You got a MacBook Pro, and that's working fine, and that's doing things for you. But it's more of changing the environment once again. You know, you've got a customized version of Lion running or whatever it may be for that particular niche, for that particular market. And I think they will develop that personally for you, not only hardware, but software as well. They got to do something different to make you think, yeah, I need to spend $6,000 or $7,000 on that piece of equipment.
But there is a key difference.
Go ahead.
I was going to say the key difference, really, I suppose, if you go to a production house or something like that, they'll have racks of servers or workstations, if you like, that need to work 24 hours a day on a particular project, right? Rendering or something like that. And there's a few things that those high-end workstations need, which is hot-swappable PSUs, hot-swappable drives, internal hardware RAID cards, that sort of stuff. So, no disrespect to Don and stuff, but you know, if his MacBook Pro goes down or something, it's not the end of the world. He can move across to another machine. Whereas So production studios are working to a budget, and it costs a lot of money if a particular machine goes down, and then they have to then take the drive out and put it to another machine, and etc. It costs a fortune. So there is a particular need for high-end workstations. That performance is one thing; it's all very good, but sort of 24/7 uptime is more important to these high-end production facilities, and that's why we need a new MacBook Pro, and that's why they will produce one. That's it, really. I can't imagine them putting a different CPU in there, because then they would have to sort of recode the operating system, the kernel, change all that. So I can't imagine why they would want to do that when Intel can offer.
Well, you'd have expected a few clues for that as well in current dev updates as well.
You would, absolutely. So I can't see that.
If March 1st was
right. I can't see a new workstation coming out that also could double as a server, and servers need exactly the same requirements that a high-end workstation would need, which is, you know, hot swappable 24/7 functionality.
Interesting thought.
Thing is, that is a definite move away from what they're doing, though, isn't it? I completely agree with Will that, you know, a pro house is better off with replaceable components, but that's sort of against the strategy they're doing for all their other kit. You know, they make them more unrepairable and unaccessible at the moment.
My question would be, I mean, we haven't had a keynote or any suspicion of a keynote in the next 4 weeks from Apple. Could the Mac Pro end up being a form factor change that makes it, or does it kind of defeat the principle of having a Pro, that you make it unuser touchable?
Yeah, I think the Pro does need to have the, you know, as Will says, it does need to have the replaceable drives. It does need to have, you know, things you can swap out easily to keep them running for 24/7. But I just don't know if Apple, that's the route they want to go down for the future, and whether or not they just might back away from that.
Point from Ian in the chat room: they've only just changed and dumped Rosetta. They won't change the chip architecture again. It'll mean they'll have to have a Rosetta-type environment for the new apps. Build-to-order only, says WinRider, for new Mac Pro. Are these the ones that they're going to be building in the States, says Russ? Could be.
Very possible, yeah.
Mm.
I mean, that I feel like the Mac Pro makes the most sense for manufacturing in the US, as far as something to, you know, Tim Cook said they're going to start with a product and see where it goes, and I feel like that's...
They've got the margins in it. Enough.
They've got plenty of margin, so... I think that makes sense for a place to start.
You want to get Ian Mitchell on this?
Ian, he uses Avid, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a proper, you know, pro producer and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, he is. He's a very talented video editor who does broadcast television stuff.
An interesting thing, though, to do with the pro side of things is, you know, Final Cut Pro. I mean, we saw Final Cut Pro X, and that caused a mass exodus of video pros to leave to other platforms. And now, over the last few updates, they significantly updated Final Cut Pro now, and it's getting back up to the level it was before. And I'm just wondering if there is another 6 months before we see a Mac Pro coming out, say at WWDC, whether or not by that time they will have massaged Final Cut Pro 10 into, you know, another blockbuster product. So, you know, it could be a double whammy. They could, you know, bring
out- yeah, whatever.
Why they could?
Have you seen they're giving the code on the back of cereal boxes for Final Cut Pro now.
No, especially the last update, they really have upped the ante on it, and it's a lot better than it was.
I've got to say, I've been editing video this week, and I always use Final Cut Pro for editing video. I find it quite intuitive. I love the magnetic timeline stuff. It's very easy to use. But this week, I've had a need to meet a customer's visual expectation. They wanted a flickery, flashing light effect with some rotating text. And I'm like, well, I haven't got that, but I'll see what I can do. And I've spent the best part of 2 hours with forum research and that kind of stuff. And I found out how to make my own titling effects in Motion, transport them across and output them as effects that can then be used in Final Cut. And I've also found a repository of effects that other people have done and made free of charge and given away.
Mm.
And I have spent all of my time with a crap internet connection in Victoria downloading tons of effects and making my own effects. And I've got I've got graphics that I've designed and drawn on Photoshop in layers to then go into motion in those separated layers to time and animate in motion, and then with effects added, I can dump them out and they become effects themselves within Photoshop that I can adjust. In Photoshop, in Final Cut that I can adjust. I've only just this week started to appreciate the power that there is in Final Cut and Motion being used in tandem. It's enormous.
I just think another 6 months and that they will probably get Final Cut back up to where it was before and better than it was before. And, you know, that could tie in with the relaunch of Pro Range of Machines.
I've spent this week sitting thinking, if this is crap, I hate to think what good was.
Well, a lot of people, you know, the Final Cut X definitely has this really radically different way of dealing with, you know, the timeline and choosing clips and, you know, trimming them and everything. And I think that threw people for a loop, certainly. But then when you piled on some of the fact that they're like, we know this isn't totally ready for everyone, but we want to get it out there and we'll keep improving it. And then everybody was sitting there looking at, like, you know, we have to do X, Y, Z, and Final Cut X can only do Z. How are we going to get X and Y done? And, I mean, the obvious answer was just keep using what you have for now and wait. You know, like, it wasn't like Apple's like, okay, everybody has to delete their Final Cut Pro 7 and use this, or you're, you know, or we hate you or whatever. And I feel like their reaction, the initial reaction was, like, very, very... negative, but a lot of editors that I've talked to since then have said, okay, but once I sat down with it and tried it, I realized I actually like working better this way, you know. And there's still some people like, no, I like the old way better, and that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Keep using what you have, and if that isn't working and Final Cut X is not going to work for you, I mean, there's still Premiere Pro.
I've had a lot of people say to me that they don't think really the interface is intuitive, but I have to say I find it incredibly intuitive. I find it very easy to work out how to do stuff.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of reports from teachers, you know, video teachers are teaching people how to edit, and that they're finding that people are taking to editing a lot quicker than they would with the old packages. You know, that it seems to be a lot more intuitive for them to actually start producing content a lot quicker than they would in the with the previous version.
I thought Final Cut Express was a dog. I had lesson after lesson from Tom Lewis on that at the Apple Store, and Christ, I still knew nothing. Unbelievably bad piece of software. Loathed it. Java has been banned.
What a piece of crap. No, go ahead.
All right, next story then. Java's been banned by Apple, despite the fact that it's a very widely used piece of software and is extremely useful to most people in the corporate sector. Apple have blocked the Java 7 update 11 and put it in the ban list on XProtect. I mean, this is the third time they got a kick in April last year with the flashback trojan, and then there was something went off in August, wasn't there, over a flaw that was in Java. And now this one.
Yeah, this is actually the second time that Apple's blocked the Java web plugin in the last 2 months. So, and just in case anyone hasn't heard yet, I think Oracle did already release yet another patch really recently. So, you know, what Apple is doing is once a critical flaw is found in the currently shipping version of Java, they're changing that XProtect blacklist to say, okay, you need to have this a new version of Java that's even newer than what's out now. So what it effectively does is disables Java and Safari and some other browsers. There's two really interesting sides to this. One is people are like, good, Apple's finally being on top of this stuff. You know, like, they're not waiting for months and months to release patches and things like that. And also, they've just kind of, like, divested themselves from Java. They no longer ship their own version for OS X, so developers that want to develop with Java, they have to, you know, download it directly from Oracle. And users that want to use, you know, Java apps in the browser have to download their own web plugin. So they're kind of saying, you know, we are shipping what we think is secure. We don't think Java is that secure. If you want to install it, it's on you. So that's kind of definitely an improvement. And they're also, you know, being much faster in response to these exploits. So that's an improvement. But there's still this disconnect in the user interface because so many users are kind of unaware of what's going on, and they go to their bank website or their doctor's office or whatever that has like some legacy Java applet they have to use to use it.
Mm.
And the browser just tells them you've got to download a newer version of Java. They go to download the new version, and it's the version they already have. They get up in this like cycle because they don't understand what Apple is doing or why, and they're just confused. So,
my question was going to be, are users getting left high and dry here, or have we got a rollback onto the previous install version? Because there's a hell of a demand for particularly hardware interaction users, a lot of Java.
It's definitely more in like a corporate enterprise type environments. There are basically some systems that figure out ways to kind of disable this block that Apple's added. For system administrators,
which is fine because you want the grunt to, you know, the numpty to be protected, not the sysadmin.
Right. But I think what Apple is really trying to do is kind of, I mean, what they're saying is don't use Java applets. Find a different way, and there are plenty of other ways to do it. It's just that, you know, it's just like these websites. You know, I went to Kia has a new car, and I wanted to go see if they, you know, find out some more information on their website. So I went to their website, and it says Flash only. You have to have Flash to use our website. So I just skipped it because I'm not going to install. Because Flash just had this huge exploit that came out yesterday, the day before. I'm not going to install this, you know, basically this like common exploit vector onto my computer just to see somebody's website. You can't be bothered to just use common web standards.
I've got a mate who's a Java developer.
And?
And his name is Jim. So we call him Jimmy Java, which is rather nice.
Thank you for that anecdote. Finish off that story. Really good.
But now does he do server-side Java development, or does he make web applets?
No, he's not... He's not a JavaScript man so much. He's proper Jimmy Java stuff.
Jimmy Java server. Apple.
Yeah.
Jimmy Java Applet or Jimmy Java Server?
Jimmy Java Server.
Good man.
Yeah. He has a lot of money, actually.
As much as Chris Forsman. Now then.
Probably
he's from Newcastle.
Rabbit has hit this week. We had the old, what do you call it? The game with the V the other week. The 6-second video editor thing, and Rabbit has now come out with a video sharing and chat service for Mac only. I haven't had a play with this. Has anyone had a go?
Nope.
I've seen a demo of it. It's pretty interesting. I mean, it
looks cool.
Yeah, it's sort of like you know how in iChat you can set up these multi-user chats, and then you can like share your screen,
yep.
So everybody on the chat can see like what you're doing on your computer. It's sort of similar to that, but like you can, like if you want to watch a movie or play music, you can just play music, and then anyone can drop into this like kind of virtual chat room, and then you can all listen to the same music, and you can chat about it or not chat about it, I guess. But you know, it's kind of I think the concept is interesting. I'm not sure how people are going to take to it or not.
My wife has got a habit. I don't think it's the same thing.
I'm going to guess not.
Does it account for the large proportion of the battery use in your house as opposed to the kids' toys?
I don't know. Sometimes the lights dim and I wonder what's going on.
If your missus ever reads this podcast, mate, you are absolutely out on the street. You ain't even going to make the sofa.
You know the human head weighs 8 pounds, right?
When severed. And Will's got 3 holes for a bowling ball.
Well, they should. It'd be nice if they did recharging docks and stuff like that. Wouldn't it be good? That'd be good.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you about... I had a mate of mine who did the safety certification for a vending machine for vibrators.
That's nice. What a nice job.
No, he did. He did the final CE marking for the for a Dutch firm who'd manufactured a series of single-use vibrators, and they did manufactured a vending machine for them. So you put them in the street, you put your money in, and you got a vibrator that was single-use. That was it. Once you finished with it, you threw it away.
Have you seen that GoDaddy advert? The one they showed at the Super Bowl?
GoDaddy, you crap.
Yeah, have you seen the advert, though?
No, because they're crap.
It's a bit creepy. It's a strange one.
Yeah, but they're a creepy organisation that are nasty and horrible, and I don't want anything to do with them, so...
Well, I'd check out the advert.
No.
No, don't check out the advert. It's horrible.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like kissing your mum or something.
They're a shitty, weird firm. They're just... How would you know about kissing your mum, Will? Jesus. I'd rather... Stick with a decent firm like UK2, mate, if you want web service. Don't go to any nutters that produce adverts like that. Waz says...
That was a bit bitter, wasn't it?
iPhone shite. No, he says it's lagging behind a bit. I'll go... Oh.
Look, I agree with him.
Waz is still on the payroll, isn't he, at Apple?
Yeah, he is. And Waz doesn't give a crap.
He gets like a permanent stipend until he dies, though.
$200 a month or something.
Yeah.
Shouldn't that give them the ability to say, Waz, shut the f*** up? He's an employee of Apple. He shouldn't run around saying, yeah, the iPhone's crap.
He didn't say it's crap. He said it's lagging.
Lagging behind. How's it lagging behind then, Kyle?
Well, it's lagging behind. It's lagging in... It needs a little bit of a facelift. It needs a little bit more of a punchy OS. However, though, it's still the most stable mobile platform on the market right now. And I would still trust it over Android any day. But it does need a facelift.
But also, let's look at it from a different perspective. You have to understand that Steve Wozniak is like a professional nerd of the highest order. Okay, and you know, there's no question that Android appeals to nerds in a way it does not, you know, hardcore nerds in a way it doesn't appeal to the general public.
Yeah, I don't think that he obviously is. I'm not sure that Waz is the man you'd go to for the general person on the street's view or usability of any device.
Is he doing the next lot of EE commercials? Instead of Kevin Bacon.
I hate those commercials.
Yeah.
They are crap.
And I mean, I've met Waz a few times, and he is super nice, but he is a super nerd, and his perspective is absolutely colored by that aspect. You know, I mean, you're talking about the guy who single-handedly designed and built a floppy drive controller for his computer when Apple didn't have a floppy drive. He's like, okay, I'll just make one.
Yeah, I suspect that if Waz was in charge of iPhone development, there'd be a button where you could switch the UI off and just run the whole phone on the Unix underpinnings.
If you say so.
No, he's probably... DHM's probably right.
Yeah.
I think he's got a point, though. We all know it's lackluster. We know that the operating system is boring. We know that Samsung are they've overtaken them now, and they're developing leaps and bounds over iOS. And I think
to be fair, there's some really good games coming out for the iPhone.
I absolutely agree. What's it called? Face Shifter?
No, it's called... No, we thought it was Arse Wiper, but it's actually Arse Kisser.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some games you just won't be able to... You'll never get on Android. Never.
You haven't developed for the Android platform, mate?
No way.
Oh, well, you're killing yourself, mate. You're 50% of your profit right there.
Yeah. 50%. Yeah, because those Android users, they spend money like tipping out of buckets, they do.
Oh. iBooker, he says 3 out of 4 nerds prefer Android.
Saw a good tweet a couple of days ago. Someone said that when they had an iPhone, everyone used to tell them what great apps to buy. Now he's got an Android phone. Everyone's telling him what good games to pirate.
pirate. I've seen
that. Oh. That's going to hurt.
Right.
You know, that's funny that we kind of touch on that, though, because there's actually quite a few people. And I think Apple has this effect that when you get into that sort of ecosystem, there's a part of you that wants to do stuff legally. You want to have the iTunes experience. You want to go to the Mac App Store. You want to download the apps on the iPhone because you feel, I don't know if it's because you feel part of something or what it is. I mean, I've known people in the past who I will not name for lawyer reasons, but they say, oh no, when I was on Windows, when I did, oh yeah, I just bought get pirated software. That'll do. And that, but it's, there's something different. They say when you get on a Mac, no, I don't want it to be that way. I want to be part of something and I think Apple is actually, I think the music industry has been, has a lot to thank Apple for, because I really think that they are one place that people said, oh yeah, I can get it easy. And they made it, and I wouldn't say at their best price, but they made it appealing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've just always kind of thought that about Apple too. After I'd seen people that were on a Windows or in a different ecosystem, they moved there, and then it's like their whole mindset changed. And I think Apple has a lot to do with that.
I'm just going to say that I happen to live with a teenager, and he doesn't pay a dime for software.
Really,
it all comes from BitTorrent. I mean, he literally, it's, oh, I want this software.
Which comes down the internet connection, which you pay for, which has your name on it, which means you're going to prison, Forsman.
No, it doesn't have my name on it. It has my girlfriend's name on it. And I've repeatedly told both her and him that when the cops come knocking, they're going to take your mom away. They're not going to take you. They're going to take your mom away because it's her name on the account. She lets him do it, and
happy Friday. Enjoy the weekend. They're going to come and take your mom away.
Your pregnant diabetic mom.
What are you talking about? Why are they going to take your mom away?
Chris, is he a Mac user or a Windows user?
No, Windows, of course.
And are they taking his mom away?
I mean, no, but you know, if someone determines what he's doing. I mean, let's look at Jamie Thomas. She owes hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court and millions of appeals, and they just keep telling her, no, you screwed it up, now pay the money.
Yeah,
that's America, though, isn't it? Hey, you're a bit mad at America, let's be honest, aren't you?
So, I'm just saying.
I'd like to apologize to all the American listeners there. That's Will's opinion alone.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You nutters.
I don't fancy going there much. I always think you take a risk going on a plane and all sorts of things. You could be blown out of the sky, and when you get there, it could be trouble.
No, they've grounded all the Dreamliners. You're fine.
That's true, isn't it? Have you bought them up, Don, or not?
No.
Apple have put out some adverts that are looking for iLife and iWork engineers. Are we getting a new one? For Christ's sake, Apple, we need new iLife.
That's a bit worrying if they're only advertising for them now.
And we need a new iLife that can replace the web program as well.
Don't worry, it's coming when Will puts his podcast out. It'll be released on the same day.
There you go, yeah, Will.
When they release the Apple TV, I'll have you know.
Oh, that was below the belt. That's fighting tool where I come from.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing? I mean, I've always sort of celebrated iWork and so this is great, it'll work really well. But actually, it doesn't particularly, in some ways. It's okay if you're just keeping stuff to yourself and whacking things out as a PDF. But I've had people send me Excel spreadsheets and blooming Word documents, and nothing like when you open them up in Pages and you have to go back to Word, or even one of the free ones like OpenOffice that does a better job than Pages and Numbers. I'm on my own in that or not?
Well, no, that's a statement of fact, though, Will. I mean, you're absolutely right. If you've got OpenOffice, it takes an Excel spreadsheet and opens it pretty faithfully, and I think it does macros as well, whereas Numbers cannot get anywhere close. You are absolutely right. If you start with a Numbers document and you stay in Numbers, you're going to be happy as Larry. Even the export from Numbers through to Excel is glitchy as hell. It's very unsmooth. There's lots of features don't translate across. Checkboxes don't work. And all of the other stuff that's quick and easy to do in Numbers is lost in Excel. And you cannot get tables of contents to export without corruption, which is a fundamental, I would have thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find it works pretty well the other way, though. If you just take a Excel spreadsheet and open it with Numbers, it works pretty well, in my experience.
It depends on what the intricacy is. If you've got tables of contents and if you've got graphical interface, it doesn't work at all. It's awful. It puts graphics everywhere. It feels like doing it. It's crap. Significantly bad.
And if it's like somebody uses the spreadsheet like as a Gantt chart type thing and they put like arrows to present sort of a time period, you put that into Numbers and see what it does. It's creative.
It is. It's beautifully creative.
But it's not accurate.
Go on, Carl, you were saying something?
Oh, no, I was going to say that you obviously don't like it. Am I correct?
I don't dislike either application. My problem is the fact that neither application works well with each other. And the point that Will's making is good. Google Docs and OpenOffice do interaction with Excel perfectly. Why can't Numbers? There's no reason that Numbers can't do it. It's just standard protocols that everyone can crib off. It's a good point. Well made, Will. It's the first time I've really wholeheartedly agreed with you in 4 years.
Oh, look, I'll keep making that point every week now, then.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to argue because I don't really export. I mean, inside the iWork, the iLife environment, it's all hunky-dory. Although, it is embarrassing, though, when you see, it was the iLife owned, where is it? iLife 11 and iWork 09 still?
Yeah.
It's just ludicrous.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they have been updating it with iCloud, etc. But, you know, the whole suite of applications are really well overdue for bringing right.
Yeah. They've kind of shoved updating in.
Spent a lot of time getting to work on the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. That has taken a lot of this stuff.
Kind of ignored the Mac in the meantime.
I mean, the thing as well that's annoyed me is that there's a lot of the applications, because of increases in OS and because of increases in compatibility with things like PhotoStream and so on, you have to update on the online version in the App Store. You can't. There's no disk to go and buy anymore. You're stuffed. So, you know, I don't really need a brand new version of iPhoto, but I had to go and pay my $11.99 and buy the new version of iPhoto just so that I could use PhotoStream and get a photo off Sharon's photo stream. Just pointless. That's the news.
Mm.
Yeah. This podcast and all of the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're wonderful. They're marvellous. They're excellent. We can't... Oh, man. You guys buy loads of their service, which is why they love doing it. They're a great firm. They've got good customer services, great technical department. If you raise a technical ticket, you get it answered very, very quickly. They give us offer codes more than anyone else. They give us an offer code for everything that they sell. So whatever you buy from UK2, there'll be money off because you're a British Tech listener, providing you go to britishtechnetwork.com first, go to the sponsors link and use the click through, because then they know we sent you. Then use your offer code. We get the kudos. They keep us afloat. The server deal that we've got with them is 400 quid's worth a month of value for the bandwidth that we consume. And I couldn't afford that. So if we lose UK2 as a sponsor, we probably just go away the following week. That's it. It's all finished. It's all done with. Switch the lights off and walk out the door. So if you want web service, check them out. You'll probably find the prices are good and you're going to get discounts and you keep British Tech on the surface of the earth. Thank you very much. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Starting us off, DMC.
Right. Well, my cool thing for this week is, you know, you've got your Mac on your desk and then you've got your iPad and then you've got your iPhone. And if you're like me, you have them in little stands, but they're sort of angled towards you. So if you want to start typing on the iPad or the iPhone, you know, it's a bit awkward because you've got the touch keyboard and it's... Anyway, this new keyboard came out this week, I think. I don't know if you can see it. This is the Logitech Bluetooth Easy Switch for the Mac. Right. Basically what it is, it's a Bluetooth keyboard and it has three dedicated keys here that allow you to switch between three different devices. So you press one button and you're talking to your Mac and typing away. Press another button, you're talking on you're typing on your iPad. Touch another button and you're typing on your iPhone. Or three Macs, if you've got three Macs. It's basically, you can pair it up with three different Bluetooth devices. It's got all dedicated keys. It also is, it's got lights in, so it lights up. So it's great. So, you know, if you're in a dark room, it lights up for you. And it's rechargeable. And it's excellent. It feels really nice. It feels just like typing on. It's a good quality keyboard as well. It just feels like typing on a normal Apple keyboard. But I'm well pleased with it. It's really good.
I'm about to be out of pocket by how much, Don?
£89.99.
How many did you get, Don?
Just the one. Just the one.
Oh, geez. So there's a lot of neglected Macs right now.
Well, there's three. That are Don's favourites.
Yeah.
Don's favourite children.
Ones. The new ones.
I'm actually going to use, I'll be using it, one for the main Macs. I actually use the MacBook Pro sort of in clamshell mode most of the time, so I'll use it with that one. And I have two iPads. I have a Screencast Online iPad that I use for the demo, so I'll use it on that one. And then my iPad Mini, which I have as my main iPad. So those three machines that I use it on.
Excellent. Excellent, mate. £89. I'm wincing a little, but I can feel my card sharpening as we speak. I spent a frigging fortune on the Big Show last night.
Oh, dear.
Kyle, what have you got for us, buddy?
Well, I tell you what, there's a fantastic new app out right now in the App Store, UK, US. It's called Phase Wiper.
No, you can't have it. I recommended it last week.
Well, I'm going to take it this week because it's been a lot of fun to play with. And it has kept me, when I've had meetings and everything else this week.
And you should have been listening.
No. It wasn't my time to listen. I only listen when I hear my name. And, yeah, it's a fun. I like it. So DHM, it's for you. You know, if Kyle Swagger spends 99 cents, it's worth it.
Cool.
I mean, that really is praise indeed.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. That's good.
Yeah, I like the game. It's quite fun. There's a lot of people I don't recognize, and I use up my turns passes quite quick. But you know what the hell? It's all good and fun. And actually, the wife is kind of addicted to it, too. She actually knows more than I do.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
The 99 cents.
There you go, mate. You that boat's not so far off anymore now, then.
No, I'm thinking I might actually hit the websites and do some looking around.
See what else you can wipe.
What is conspicuous in a boat? Is it like 90 foot? Is that conspicuous?
Oh, no. I think Jobs's yacht's going to be available soon anyway after the dispute's settled. So, yeah.
I think that's an ugly boat.
It is.
I got an idea, a really good one for your wipe thing. You could do Apple Wipe and have all products from 1984 up until the present day, and real geeky thing, you got to wipe it and guess the Apple product.
I can only foresee one small problem with that idea, Will.
Go on.
That the terms of the App Store specifically forbid any Apple logos, products, or imagery in any app.
Oh.
But apart from that, it's spot on.
That's a,
I know,
that's,
I know.
That's a seller.
Silhouetted.
Silhouetted.
Yeah.
Shine a light behind them, take a picture of the shadow that they project, and then you've got to guess it. That's not very exciting, is it?
Not really. We'll leave that one alone, eh?
Yeah.
Mr. Forsman, do you have a cool thing?
I do. I'm going to put a link to it. I don't have the device myself, but I've been doing some research. As we mentioned earlier, my girlfriend has gestational diabetes and now has to check her blood sugar 6 times a day.
Lovely.
Before and after every meal.
I know that feeling. My wife's diabetic.
There's this really great... Oh, what's that?
My wife's diabetic too, Chris, so I know exactly what you're going through.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
She's happy with a rabbit.
She hates doing. But they have a little glucose. It's a little tiny glucose meter that snaps into your iPhone. And it takes your measurements just like, you know, the regular little devices do. And it actually doesn't cost anymore. But it snaps into your iPhone and then records all the data in an app. And you can just pull up charts and show them to your doctor or email them in or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
It's awesome because... Right now, we have this little, it's a little janky little thing. It looks like, a crappy Casio watch. Not even a good one, but a crappy one. And all the to write everything down on paper and just hassle. Especially because you have to do it so many times a day.
This thing
would be a big help to us.
Price, any idea?
It's about $100 from the Apple Store online, but I'm looking at Walgreens.com because we use Walgreens as our pharmacy here in the States, and they're all over Chicago, and it's $74.99.
There's loads of charts that it dumps out as well. Yeah, very good.
Got a nice interface.
I wonder do you know how much the test strips are? Because it says it comes with 50, but where they really get you in the end is those test strips.
Oh, yeah. You always have to buy those test strips. Let me see, because it says you can buy more at Walgreens, so maybe they have a little link to it. I don't see it. Oh, here we go. Shop all products. Test strips, $65 for 50. That's...
Ouch.
Boy.
You're using four a day.
Six a day. Yeah.
Shit.
That's a great pick there.
Thanks.
Oh,
that price is the same as the ones for any other device. I mean,
that's
most
true.
People's insurance going to cover half that anyway.
It can be used without the iPhone. Mentions Windrider in the chat room as well, so that's useful.
That's cool. Well, that is cool.
Excellent pick. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Like
it. Monsieur Green.
Right now, check this out. Look at these. See these headphones? Aren't they nice?
They're the Apple earphones that don't stay in my ear, yes.
And it's got the, you know, the thing. The up and down thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Really nice. They're not Apple. They cost £3.99.
Hey! Where from?
Hey! That's the way I roll!
Well, you cheapskate bastard. Where from, mate?
Jazooli.com. That's JAZOOLI. Is it .com? Yeah, it is. JAZ. Well, I've said that already, haven't I? Jazooli.com. Fantastic. And they do all sorts of stuff. You can get the old earphone style as well, which I think about £1.50. Oh, no. £2.49 for the old style. £3.99. £3.49. Those ones, absolutely brilliant. The sound is really good, and things like if you go to mobile and go for the connectors and stuff like that, so you know the cables that you want. I noticed they're doing, you know, the 25 pin to that new Silly connector for about £1.50. Amazing and great service and proper quality stuff as well. So I'd recommend it. Rather than go to the Apple Store and spend £30 on a pair of headphones or
and the rest.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
And the rest.
Or £25 on one of those little converters, you know, from the old style connected to the new style. Check this out. I think the connectors are about £1.50, £2, something like that. Really good. They're a British-based company as well. So, the stuff's not coming from China. Well, not indirectly anyway. So
I've got to say, at the moment... whoever is manufacturing headphones has got to be smoking some serious dope, because I went round HMV, so we've got a store going out of business, and they've got their little strip of, yeah, have a try of our earphones. Now, the Beats stuff sounds beautiful. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it ain't £300 worth. This desk had 20 sets of headphones on it. There wasn't a single set on there apart from one that was below £250 for a set of ear cans. And the only one that was below £250 was £89, and it was the Bose ones, which sounded phenomenal. I want 10 grams of whatever earphone manufacturers are smoking, because it is serious trippy shit. It's you're lunatics.
ER 8-pin to 30-pin lightning adapter converter dot cable connector block for iPhone 5, £2.99. Or if you want
like USB lightning cable for £2.19.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Jazooli.
It's good, isn't it?
We like them.
But fine.
We like people that don't rip people off. Yeah. Talking of which, Dr. Happy Mac, your pick, sir.
Pick something for me?
It's your pick.
My pick of the week.
Yes.
After 2 weeks away, I've had such a... Oh, courtesy of British Telecom with clients and things, I've had such a frantic week this week that I've got two. One of them's a little app that's quite useful and will relieve you of $2.99 of your hard-earned money. I was really surprised to find that I needed to print out a load of bigger stuff and stick it together to make posters and things. And I've realized that the only app that I've ever had, which I don't have at the moment, that will do that easily is Adobe Illustrator. Where you can tile your pages on the printer. And I discovered how incredibly hard it is to do that in OS X. And I dug up an app called MindCAD Tiler, which you drop your PDF onto, and you tell it, or a JPEG or anything, you tell it how many sheets of A4 you wanted printed it on, and it scales it automatically to it, sends it to the printer, and then you can reassemble it into a nice big banner to say, happy 40th birthday, etc., and all stuff like that, which was pretty good. It's a bit of a one-shot thing, but it was a thing that I thought, God, I cannot believe that OS X does not allow me to do this from any individual app application from the printer dialogue. It was very good. Very saved the day for me. So anything that saves the day is a good thing.
We like that. Did you say a price?
$2.99. Tiler, it's called, by a company called MindCAD, and it's on the Mac App Store.
Excellent.
And my other one was a website which got sent to me courtesy of Mark Sunner, and I thought I'd been hacked for a minute, which is funny, which is a thing called GeoCitizer.
Right.
Where you put your website into it, and it shows you what your gorgeous website would have looked like in 1997 if you hosted it on GeoCities.
That's good. I'm going to have some fun with that a bit later. Excellent.
It's very funny.
Okay, you must put a link in the chat room and in the doc. We shall put that out. There's only five of these left in stock, but Mr. Forsman has found Audio Technica ATH M30 Professional Studio Monitor Closed Back Headphones on Amazon. $40. That's a proper price. And a good set of headphones as well. But like I say, there's only five
stuff. I've got the M20s, which are a little... less sturdy, maybe. But they're pretty similar, and they're like $30 or $35. I think I got mine for 20 on a sale.
Superb qualities. Well done. Well done. That's what you need. You need some £60, up to £100 maybe, for a set of really good reference headphones. That's it. Thieving bastards.
They just don't say Beats by Dre on them at all.
Exactly. Which I tend to... Alex did make a point when I was out with Alex Fox on Wednesday night, and he did make a point that Dr. Dre's probably not looking for me as the market.
Mm.
Which, fair point. But if there are any kids listening to this, and that means anyone below 46, you don't need £300 earphones. Don't buy them. People in the chat room are going, bought some skull candies, £20, brilliant. That's all you need. I've got two picks. I've got one because they sent me a review unit and I've used it and it is the bomb. Plugbug World from 12 South. This thing clips onto your existing Mac adapter, Mac transformer, and it gives you a second output that you can put your iOS device into or any other USB device to take a charge off it. It is easily the best appliance that I've had in my work rucksack forever. It's beautiful. It's great. It's dead easy to use. It gives you that extra little bit. So you now got three USB slots. So things like, for me, I walk around with a USB dongle to get Wi-Fi, and I tend to try and keep it plugged in somewhere. And before, I'd carry around a separate charger so I could plug it in over the opposite side of the room next to a window or something like that. Or I'd have to plug it into the MacBook, and that would use up one of the USB slots. So if I was putting stuff on data sticks, which I do a lot, it'd be a pain in the backside having to unplug it, and then you forget to plug it back in, and then the charge runs down on the Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So this thing's fantastic. I would say it's got one fault, and the fault is not it. The fault is with the Apple charger, because the Apple charger has got that short little bit of lead, and that's it. So if you've got a floor-mounted socket, it becomes a real pain in the arse. But if you've got desktop-mounted sockets, it's a must-have. You have to buy this item. It is easily the best money that you will spend. If you commute around and if you pull stuff out and use it on the train and that kind of thing, instantly two sockets, straight away, start charging your iPad, start charging your iPhone, and any other USB device. Go get it, the plug bug. And my other pick...
It's the what?
The plug bug.
Okay.
Not the butt plug. The plug... the plug bug. Well, plug bug world from 12 South.
I gave you that one.
The other thing that I bought is ProCut 10. And ProCut 10 is a specifically manufactured iPad application for Final Cut Pro 10.
I bought that this week. Gear, isn't it?
Have you played with it?
I had a little play with it last night. I only got it, I think, literally yesterday lunchtime when I saw it, and I downloaded it and had a play. Set it up. It seemed to work.
Excellent. I've had a couple of hours with it now, yesterday and today, and if you've got that set up nicely on your foldable, the cover that you get with a big iPad, you just leave that on the desk with slight slant. You put it to your left of your keyboard. You have your mouse to the right with the keyboard shortcuts in the middle. I'm starting to fly. Mm. And I think another couple of days of using that, and I'll be lost without it. And the other thing that's on there, which you just don't have anything else, is the shuttle wheel. And the shuttle wheel is so accurate. I cannot get over, for a software link, I can't get over how accurate it is. It's absolutely beautiful. It's not cheap. It's £17.49, $25 if you want to buy it. But even in the couple of hours I've used it, it saved me time, and it just feels nice. It feels like you're actually using a proper piece of editing software then at that point.
Now here's the big question, though.
Yeah.
Did you install it on your iPad, the new iPad, or did you install it on your Mini?
I've got it on both.
Okay.
So...
To be fair, for a control service, like for Pro Video and stuff like that, it's $14.99. It's an absolute bargain, isn't it?
$17.49 it is.
Oh, okay. $17.49, even that.
Yeah. I thought it was money well spent myself. I spent a lot of time in Final Cut.
Well, I've got one of these... it's actually cabled to the desk, so I can't actually show you. But one of the Shuttle Pros, which is the hardware device, and I think that cost me about 75 quid. Yeah. And it's not as sophisticated as... Obviously, you've got the touch... You've got the...
you have to sit and program it, though.
It's firmly cabled to the desk. I don't know if you can see it on the camera there.
I know the device. Yeah. I've got one of those, and it's horrible. I don't use it anymore.
But that looks very smart.
Yeah,
I learned something this week.
Go ahead.
You know trackpads and stuff like that?
Yes.
On your Apple. And when they said they're made out of glass, and everybody thought, well, bollocks, they're not, are they? They are.
The trackpad really... Why? Because you smashed it.
Look at that. Just say that. I mended it, and I took it apart, and it said, you can mend your magic trackpad in minutes. I did. I did mend it, but you can't see the crack, can you? Oh, maybe you can. Yeah.
You can mend it, but how did you mend it? Was it super glue-based, or...?
No, not the what it was. The button, you know, like you click left and you click right on the magic trackpad.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the left-hand one wasn't working anymore. So it said, you can mend it within minutes. And so I got a knife and pried it open like they said. And the front of it cracked all the way down the front. Look at that. No shame. I mean, it still works. But but it proves they are made out of glass, in case you doubted it.
Very good.
So that's what I've learnt. Let's all sit around and talk about what we've learnt this week.
Listen, yes, do the school, stuff the school, the cool thingy. We'll just do that.
Yeah. What? Don, what have you learned this week?
Well, let's talk about what we haven't learned this week, because it'll take less time. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. McAllister?
Right, well, you can find me over at screencastonline.com, where you'll find links to my weekly podcast, my training stuff, my magazine, and you can find me on Twitter as Don McAllister.
Don't be a Muppet. Subscribe to Screencast Online if you own a Mac. You're listening to this show and you haven't got a subscription with Don. You fool.
Thank you.
Mr. Swagger, where are you, buddy?
Just find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger, Swagger with 1G, and over the weekend playing Face Wipe.
thank you for joining us. We'll miss you next week when you're having a lovely romantic dinner with your good lady.
Yes, yes, yes. Sorry, I will not be here next week.
You can tell that you've got no kids because you're having a lovely romantic dinner with your wife.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we've learned the secret to a wonderful marriage.
No kids.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Eventually, it's going to happen. I don't know when. Hey, we'll get started on.
You know, there's kind of a thing you have to do to make it happen. There's no stalk. Yeah. You know,
I just need the instruction manual. That's all.
Okay, mate. Will's got one.
Great.
Chris Forsman is at Ars Technica doing his fantastic writing. That's a picture of his Skype channel that I don't know why I'm showing that. I just thought he'd be there when I knew he wasn't. You can get him at Forsmac on Twitter, and you can read all of his stuff on arstechnica.com. Some seriously good articles. Will, where are you, bud?
Two places, BritishMac.com, and also like to say thank you to Stoneburn.com for allowing me this time to add to the quality content of this podcast. If I'm honest, without my input, I think it would be pretty dire, really, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have the level of intellectual.
You haven't read the reviews in the US store, then, have you?
I don't want to. I don't read any of your reviews. They're horrible. They always slag me off. Yeah. What do you get Greeny on? He's an idiot.
No, the ones in America, there's guns involved and preachers and.
I'm not looking. They're scary.
Yeah, I think you'd never go out again if you read some of them. I haven't read them out on the podcast deliberately. Dr. Happy Mac, where are you?
At Dr. Happy Mac on Twitter, and you can catch us at Facewiper on Twitter as well. Now you can follow at Facewiper or at Dr. Happy Mac. It's all good.
Good man. We expect to see Facewiper, Dr. Happy Mac, and Siren Sester Software will be sponsoring the bash this year.
Yeah, Siren Sester Software concern. And if you get where the name comes from and our tagline, then you watch too much Simpsons.
The bash is happening 5th and 6th of July. If you would like to come, we've got around about 200 tickets available. We're going to put them on sale soon. You need to book yourself into some accommodation if you want to get pished. B36 is the postcode, or B46 is the postcode to search for. The Travelodge over the road. I went over the other day and asked them if you've got any rooms left, and they've got 3 rooms left for the 6th. So I think it's been popular. We could have a fair few people here. So 5th and 6th. 5th is going to be a curry over at the Kismet, where I'm going this evening for dinner, which is the best curry house in the world. And then the 6th will be down at a location just a couple of miles away that's absolutely fabulous, with a huge garden. There'll be a pig roast there. We're hoping to get a brewery to sponsor us for at least a subsidised bar. And there's plenty of room to park a car if you do want to drive. However, I don't suggest you drive home afterwards. Get a taxi. But your car's pretty safe there. It'll be all right. And it's got a lovely big garden, and the hall is immense. You can play badminton in it. It's huge, high vaulted ceiling and stuff. So, and I've paid for it today, so I'm £400 out of pocket. So you buggers better come, all right? Otherwise it'll be trouble. We'll be doing some of the podcasts during the day, and we'll have loads of fun, loads of food, loads of beer. And it's kid-friendly. My kids are going. Steve Neighbour's bringing his kids and his wife. Aaron Clayton's bringing his kids and his wife. So bring all your kids up, and there's a big garden for them to play in and make a load of noise in, and we'll make the podcast. But if they scream in the background, well, stuff happens. There we go. We'll be back again next week. We'll be 1 week closer to winning the European Podcast of the Awards. Thank you very much for everyone who voted for us. I think we did rather well. We'll have to wait and see, though, if the judges agree. Mm-hmm. See you soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye.